Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whenever you're listening. This is Davisville on KDRT-LP 95.7 FM in Davis, California. You can find us online anytime at kdrt.org/Davisville. I'm Bill Buchanan. I'm your host. Thank you for tuning in today. Well, when you need to fix your car, you see a mechanic. For bike repairs, it's off to a bike shop. But who fixes books? And how do you fix a book? And in most cases, why would you, since aren't we all supposed to be going digital? Each Tuesday, a small group known as the Davis Book Menders meets for several hours in a room at the main Davis Library, gathered around a long table filled with rolls of tape, glue, paper, brushes, and more, as they set to work on that week's collections of repairs. The week I visited, they were repairing kids' books, one of the Harry Potter novels, possibly more than one Harry Potter novel, titles of popular fiction, a family Bible with notes that the owner wanted to preserve. They mended covers, repaired tears, bucked up bindings, and got ready to send the books back out to readers. This group and their predecessors have had a big local impact. They have repaired 150,000 books in the last 40 years, which, if you're curious, works out to about 70 a week. Today on Davisville, we're talking with one of the menders, Karen McCluskey, about what they do, and maybe we can learn a little bit more about Davis from their work. Karen, thank you for talking with us today on Davisville.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. So now, if you didn't mend these books, they'd get destroyed, right? Because they're worn out or would be soon. So in other words, this isn't only altruism. You also save a fair amount of money here for the library.
I think so, because books that the whole book block is coming out, or most typically pages are coming out, the cover is terribly torn, they're pretty unusable.
Are these mostly library books that
we are tasked with mending the collection for the library.
And it's for the entire county, right?
It is. It's mostly Davis, but the collection floats. Like sometimes if you put a book on hold at the library and you get it, you study it, you might find it came from Esparto or West Sacramento. So, and sometimes like West Sacramento or will send us a few books, and so we... Yeah. We deal with the collection, yeah.
70 books a week seems like a lot.
It is not, because it's actually, we mend pretty much all they have for us every week. We're doing many more than that before the pandemic shut us down. In the early years of mending, there were not that many books mended a week, but typically we're in the 100 to 150 range.
You know, I didn't ask the library this question, but your mention of the pandemic makes me think of that. I did look up book sales, because I said in the intro, you know, aren't we all turning digital? And of course we're not. In fact, the Publishers Weekly said U.S. book sales were $783 million in 2024. That's up $4 million plus from the year before. But the recent peak was in 2021, first year of the the first full year of the pandemic. Yeah. And I guess I'm hearing part of that, right? The library... I think has always been well used, but books became more crucial when we were all quarantined, didn't they?
It seemed like it. I mean, we've heard for years about digital and will people buy books, and friends of the library have worried, well, we have donations for our sales, but it is booming. I'm not worried about any of that. I think the library is healthy and well used.
What kind of repair? You alluded to this a little bit in your, but when you're repairing a book, when I was there the other day, it seemed like they were simple tears on a cover, or you've got a paperback that looks like the corner's been chewed or something, and you know you're mending that. But what's the gamut? Some of them are very simple. You mentioned the book block. I don't know what that is, but that's the pages collected. Is that?
If you think about your hardcover book and you open it up, all of the pages, that block that is stuck to the back and with the end papers, that is the book block. And so frequently these book blocks, especially on bigger books, like one drop and the book block begins to sag and pull, and that's one step from it coming all the way out.
Do the books come to you then from the library circulation desk? Do they basically get a book back and they say, uh-oh, this one's got to go into the shop?
In the return room, and sometimes patrons will, say this book is in trouble, or, you know.
Tell me a little bit about the bookmenders. There's five of you currently,
there
I think?
There are currently five bookmenders.
And you all specialize a little bit. I got that sense.
I think we specialize more for what we enjoy more. You know, there is one bookmender that really seems to like to mess with board books. And that's a good thing because board books are, you know, think of who uses board books, like toddler types. And there's one bookmender that deals more easily with the really old books. And we have things that we like more, but everybody pretty much does everything. We pick a book off the cart to be mended, and we're only human, and sometimes you'll look at it and you need ideas, and you think, well, you know, I could do this and this with this book, and we consult with each other.
Well, and you're all volunteers, right?
Yes, so we're all volunteers.
The enjoying your task, I think, is a big part of
it. Yes.
And another thing struck me, and I forget which member it was when I was there, she was the newest member, I think she said, and she's been doing this for 10 years.
We have a mender that's been a little less, like three, but okay. Yes, I've been there a little over 20, Jeanette maybe 15, 12, you know, it's, you know, people don't tend to just leave for no reason.
Yeah, and Jeanette, that'd be Jeanette Clark, who's one of them.
Jeanette was about 15 years, yeah.
So what draws you all to this task, and what draws you to each other?
I think it is so appealing to get this filthy, torn up book and be able to bring it back to life. You know, what I, as I said to you on Tuesday, I call it frequently like serviceably sound, like usable. We have great materials. We use good library curator materials. And it's like taking something that's used and damaged and like keeping it out of the landfill.
Kind of a book hospital.
Yeah. It's just really appealing.
Obviously, it seems obvious you all like each other.
We do.
So, I mean, you've really found and this was something else one member said, you're kind of like a quilting bee.
Maybe. I've never been in a quilting bee. It's over my years with menders. Menders are a support system. They care about each other. We're very good cooks. We have wonderful potlucks. We bring different skills and life experiences, but sometimes it's just quiet and companionable, and other times there are pretty riotous discussions about current events.
Oh, no, that sounds interesting. Can you tell me a little about that?
Well, from the time I've joined Bookmenders, I mean, when I first joined, I was really the young one. And Peggy Epstein, who founded Bookmenders, was very much the head of Bookmenders. And I remember I used to say, it's hard to get to the left of this group.
Oh, you're talking political left,
yes,
cultural left?
Yes, yes, political left. And yes, there's much fodder to talk about.
Your work includes, I think, some unexpected details. At least they were unexpected to me. For example, spiral-bound books.
Oh, yes.
Even your response, not a spiral-bound book. Oh. But what's so bad about a spiral-bound book?
Well, think about a spiral-bound like a cookbook. Think about these little frail pieces of paper on the edge, and, you know, it can be very hard to put it back together. I've even, like, a few times, if the book warrants it, I take out all the spiral. I sew together the book block. I put a backing on it. Put book tape on the back, you know, make a new copy of the spine and laminate it and just basically rebuild the book so it's usable.
You send it back out unspiraled.
Yes. Yes. I'm happy to unspiral things.
I guess for a cookbook, right, a spiral binding is good because it lets it lie flat. But it makes me think this is intelligence to get back to publishers and say, stop making spiral bound
children's books are, you know, there are not that many. Some things that cause us to kind of cringe and sigh, like some of the children's books with pull-out pages, pop-up pages.
Well, that was on my list, too. Pop-ups are a problem.
I mean, you know, well, it takes some time to reconfigure, but something like that, or in a children's book, a totally mangled page, we get another copy. We make copy of the pages. We kind of rebuild the inside.
How do you know if a book is worth saving? And I guess there's two questions there. One is condition, and one maybe is just, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I can imagine if you had a slightly damaged copy of a easily available book, maybe that's not worth repairing compared to, say, a badly damaged example of a out-of-print book.
Oh, well, sometimes if we have something that's kind of looks unusual and is in bad shape, we'll consult, and the library might tell us, look, this is the only copy in the system. We can fix anything. We really can. We can fix anything. Now, I've said that. I don't know if I should.
Yeah, you know, a follow-up question is going to be, give me an example of.
Oh, some things that take, you know, just a lot of time and effort. We can do it. Occasionally, like especially, say, a children's book that's had a lot of taped pages and, just a ton of work and a ton of work on the outside, you can kind of say, is this really worth it? And maybe ask, and they have like 5 copies of it. We might recommend discard. But then it also happens that, you know, sometimes I might be looking at a book and say, I don't know, this book is maybe recommend discard. And somebody across the table will go, I don't know, I'll fix that.
Another thing I heard that surprised me was the animals get hold of books sometimes.
Pets, oh, yes.
Dogs. And someone was talking about books that clearly a dog had chewed on the corner.
It made me laugh. I should have taken a picture. It was this wonderful, lovely, hardbound How to Train the Perfect Puppy or something. And this whole corner had clearly dealt with a puppy.
I do wonder. I mean, did the book give its life in training the puppy?
No, that was easily fixed.
Well, okay, yeah. And that was the second part of it, was when someone talked, I instantly pictured a chewed book cover.
Yes.
And then someone said, oh, those are easy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like you see those all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And children's books, I mean, I think people let their toddlers teeth on them. And
yeah, it's just coming into this. One of the reasons I enjoy doing this show is, of course, just what I learn. And if I thought, okay, a book that's in bad shape, the binding's falling apart or it's fallen in a bathtub or something. But I would have thought if something had been chewed on by an animal, that would be pretty hard to repair that.
That's easy.
Yeah, you guys don't break a sweat over that,
not
apparently.
Not a problem. It's not usual, but more than once, you can see a car has run over the book open. You see the tire tread.
So,
it's evidence.
Do you, let's do a quick station ID here. This is Davisville on KDRT 95.7 FM, Davis, California, kdrt.org/Davisville online. I'm Bill Buchanan, and we are talking with Karen McCluskey of the Davis Book Menders about repairing books here in Davis. One of the risks is well-intended but badly done repairs, I understand. Like, and I confess I've done this. I check out books in the library, we get it home. Something happens, I think, oh, I can fix that, save somebody the trouble. And you're already shaking your head, say, don't do that, right?
No. So what? Any book that has loose, torn, small, whatever, just please put a note on it and send it to us. Because based on what we see, people don't have the right kind of glue, they don't have the right kind of tape. Like you say, well-intentioned, but we'd like to do it.
Well, I guess maybe the point here, too, is that the library, through you guys, can repair it better than we lay people can on our own. And that's better for the book long haul.
Well, usually, yes.
And the customer, the person who checked it out, won't necessarily get punished then for turning it in.
No.
They aren't going to get a scolding letter that says,
no.
What did you do to our book?
No.
Some books, I imagine, present stories inadvertently, perhaps, when you get them, either from notes maybe written inside or a particularly unusual damage where you might think, what happened here?
Notes written inside, yes.
So talk about that for a little bit. Have you ever repaired a book or more than one where you thought you got interested in some implied story based on the condition of the book? In other words, I'm making this up totally, but if a book came in totally shredded, I would wonder, what did this? it's not a dog, it's not a bathtub fall, But it doesn't have to be that. I mean, it could be notes inside.
Oh, and it's, I try not to be distracted as I'm erasing. Occasionally, I've been sucked down a rabbit hole with notes people have written in the margins, thankfully in pencil, that I could erase. I try not to do that. Mostly damage presents like stories, like maybe if you're pulling the sizzling skillet out of the stove, you should use a trivet and not the library book.
Because you've seen some books with burn damage from
the
pot.
Melted, yeah. Or maybe you shouldn't read in the bathtub and fall asleep and drop the book. There are occasionally just indeterminate liquid spills that, you know, are kind of frightening. There was one time that the book clearly had some mold and such a lot of liquids, we sealed it in a Ziploc bag and put a note on it. It felt kind of like a biohazard.
So that was one that
that was not savable.
Okay. I also think physical books have a certain power as an object that's, say, different than a piece of furniture or a candlestick or something. In my own case, I had a friend in town who loaned me a copy of a book once written by John McPhee, the writer, a very good writer. And it turns out, as I was reading the book, started to read it, it was inscribed by John McPhee, and it was inscribed to basically the subject or one of the subjects of the book. And so as I sat there reading this, so I had a couple of thoughts. First of all, I'm going to be so careful with this book. I mean, I already was going to be. But second, I just felt for a minute, the book almost felt like just touching it. I felt like I was almost in the room with the writer and the subject of the book. That was pretty powerful. And I mean, books have that ability. And I guess I'm wondering if you sense that sometimes when you'll see a book come in, you'll see a name, maybe see a name crossed out. I don't know.
Oh, well, a lot of what we do is just very everyday and mundane. And everybody picks up a book to mend occasionally. I mended one about, remember the Terminus Hotel down there the train station,
yeah.
And the places in there and the whole brouhaha when it was being torn down. There was a whole book about that. And I had a good time kind of flipping through, looking at the pages and people I know, and I'd see somebody and say, I was looking at this book. Are other things like that that are evocative of some place you've been, you know, or what you've done? Or and occasionally we have like a couple of us old grandmother types will mend a children's book, and more than once I've mended a children's book and thought, this book is great, and, you know, maybe looked it up to order it on Amazon, and Ellie and I have ordered books for grandchildren.
So you get inspired by the work you do.
And found some real winners.
Do the books you see, maybe do the repairs that they need, do they tell you anything about Davis?
That would be hard to know because I don't really study that.
Well, let me ask this way. Which books do you see a lot of? I mean, do you see like a lot of romance, a lot of fiction?
And again, that's a little bit hard because we see books that are identified when they're returned. But then we also will occasionally see big batches of books when the librarians will go through this section or that section. Or, you know, so we'll get a whole bunch of...
So these may not be books anyone's checked out lately. It's just the library's kind of sweeping through.
It's kind of housekeeping, I guess.
Yeah, okay. I see your point. That would distort the flow of books.
Yes.
But I would imagine, you know, you might see a lot of Stephen King books, a lot of those sold as hardbacks.
Well, we do see some, just a wide range of all kinds of books. We see a lot of children's books. I suspect they're generally more needy.
Well, they get used in a different way, too.
Yes.
We talked about, a minute ago, about people not making their own repairs, that if they need to bring it in. But one of the things you have at the Bookmenders is the first Tuesday of every month, mm-hmm. you have, it's a clinic, basically. Well, what do you call it?
We call it the Book Repair Cafe. And we started it in May of last year, just with a cute flyer, thinking because for years we would have people come in or inquire and maybe have a book, and we would do an occasional private mend, but it seemed to me this was an opportunity for the community and for people, and you, between 10 and 12, the first Tuesday of the month, you can come with your precious but needy book, and we will consult. We've had people that are very competent. We literally kind of just give them materials and guide them through the process. We've had people that were through maybe physical difficulties or not feeling up to it, where we've done much more of the work. We'll consult and go through the process with people. And frequently it might take, you know, more than one trip in, but it's lovely, because then these people with their very typically like a cookbook, like, I got this cookbook from my mother when I got married, and the cookbook has clearly lived a big life. And we can give them that feeling of having it come back to serviceably sound.
I've never tried repairing a book. But, you know, tape, I get that. Glue, I get that, how that would work. But like repairing the binding of a book, I would have no idea how to do that. But your point is, it's not that hard. You just need some instruction and the right equipment.
Some things, you know, we have a lot of things we can do. We have a lot of materials. And it's free. I mean, we're not going to be charging. And sometimes I'll send somebody home. I sent somebody home a couple months ago. Had a real many, many page with the little flimsy old, it was paper that was all wrinkled, and I sent with instructions about alcohol, and she came back and, you know, she said something like, I must have worked on 500 pages, but it was beautiful. And when we finished the outside and the whole, I mean, it's, the book was back.
Alcohol, is that part of the way to?
Well, it's one way you can kind of relax paper.
If it's sort of gotten tight by age?
If it's gotten bent and wrinkled and, yeah.
Yeah, see, these are little tricks
but
of the trade that
oh,
I...
Oh, there, we have a million little tricks. Yeah, a million. So maybe half a million.
Okay, so that's at the main Davis Library.
Yes.
Tuesdays from 10 to 12, you just show up.
First Tuesday of the month.
First Tuesday,
so. You just show up with your book, and we will do the best we can for you.
When we were getting set up for this, and I was talking also with a few of you on that Tuesday, and I think you said you pretty much read books digitally.
I do.
And Jeanette Clark, who was at the time, she had quite a library, I guess, physically. And I remember thinking, well, now, this was interesting, because you had, obviously you both love to read,
yeah.
And you both believe in books. You read digitally now. You're still there repairing the physical books.
And Jeanette listens to much of her, quote, reading material, like audiobooks. She's a huge fan of audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I enjoy reading on the Kindle app on my iPad. Yes.
I guess when I hear that, I think here's, I don't want to call it an evolution, because I think print books are sticking with
yes.
us in a way that maybe people thought, what, one can get too glib about predictions, like, well, in 5 years, you know, no one will be, clearly that hasn't been true with print books. But you're someone who clearly loves books. You read them digitally, and you spend several hours a week repairing them physically.
Yes.
And I think that just maybe kind of describes one aspect of the modern reading experience. Still interested in the physical, but you take advantage of the digital. It works for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also part of this process that's, you know, keeping the physical alive. I guess that's easier to understand maybe if someone is really still committed to physical books. You know, they read them, then they're going to preserve them because they use them. But you're doing both.
Oh, I am not a collector of books. I don't have that many books at home. You know, my idea of books, I really like them to be out working.
So we have a few minutes left.
Yeah.
How did you join the Bookmenders?
Well, Bookmenders have been famous and in Davis since 40 years ago when Peggy Epstein kind of grew the program. I knew about it. It was, as she used to say, a closed system. You didn't just join Bookmenders. You don't just join Bookmenders.
Well, and if you don't just join it, what do you do?
Well, you wait until there's maybe an opening, And I kind of waited till there was an opening, and I knew some of the bookmenders, and I at a Library Friends general meeting when they were there, I said, you know, Peggy, I'm local, I'm stable, I'm pretty handy, I'm very liberal. And, you know, and I kind of like applied and...
It's an audition that you're describing.
Well, yes, and I joined bookmending. Well, now when we've had an opening, I mean, I think it's really important for all people concerned. You don't just kind of... We treat it as like a job. It's not something you do if you don't have something better to do on a Tuesday. You don't set getting your teeth cleaned on Tuesday, or you are conscious of the time and committed, and we treat it as a job. And that's important. It's an important job.
You got to stick with it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I can still see well enough. I can still pick up the books. I intend to mend books for as long as I can.
And if people want to learn more about the bookmenders, the best way is it just to come by on a Tuesday and when you're there, or maybe come by the cafe?
You know, we're always happy to say hi to somebody if they want to talk to us, and we can, well, you came by, and, you know, we're kind of like, let us show you our...
I did, although...
Show you our stuff and our tape and our, you know.
Yeah, but it was also to set up for this interview. I mean,
we would drag anybody in to show them stuff. Because we like to show stuff. You know, it's like, look what we did. Yeah.
Well, thank you for talking with us today, Karen.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Karen McCloskey of the Davis Bookmenders in Davis, California. They mend books. The title is well described. I am Bill Buchanan. This is Davisville, KDRT 95.7 FM, Davis, California. Thank you for listening.